The little text of scripture we want to leave with you tonight, and God helping us seek to preach the gospel from, is the final statement there of verse number 7 of 1 John chapter 1. John here, the apostle, is speaking. He speaks these tremendous words. He says, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." In this chapter, John is writing to the Christians of his day. And a Christian is one who is born again of the Spirit of God. A Christian is one who is saved by the grace of God. Let me ask you the question tonight in this meeting. Are you a Christian? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? Have you been saved by the grace of God? And as he speaks here to these Christians, he tells them some wonderful truths. In verse 2 of the chapter, he reminds them there of their eternal life, that it is found in Christ alone. He says in the latter part there of verse 2, that eternal life which was with the Father was manifest unto us. And he was speaking there of Christ, how they knew eternal life through Christ, the Son of God, he who was God manifest in the flesh. Verses 3 and 4 there of the chapter, he speaks to them how fellowship with God and fellowship with Christ is the true source of the Christian's joy. He says there, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. There is no joy for the Christian in the world, or in the ungodly ways of this world. But my true joy for the Christian is found at the feet of Christ, is found in the place of fellowship with the Lord, our Savior, and our blessed Redeemer. And then in verse 5, he gives these Christians that he speaks to a wonderful description of God. You know, people today have all sorts of notions about God. Man's ideas and conceptions about God, but we need not to listen to the foolish thinking of men to know what God is like. We must go to the Bible, go to the Word of God, and look at what John says there about God. And verse number 5 at the end of that verse, he says this, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Oh, that each and every one of us would get a grip of that truth in our hearts. That God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. He is without blemish, without sin, without spot. He is infinitely, eternally holy. Sometimes even when people go through times of difficulty or trials, why they falsely charge God with things. How wrong that is. The Bible says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Whatsoever God doeth is right. As for God, the Bible says, his way is perfect. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And then when we come to verse 7, John here tells these Christians about God's remedy for man's sin. And he speaks of that remedy in the words of our text at the end of verse 7 when he says, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Oh, that God would print these words indelibly in every heart and soul in this meeting tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If a man was to hear of a remedy for some terrible disease or affliction in his body, I'm sure that man would be most eager to hear of that remedy. And my, if that person had that terrible disease, they would do all they can to find that remedy. They would do all they can to obtain and possess that remedy. My, they would give all their wealth. They would give all their estate, they'd give all their savings, everything they had, if they could obtain a remedy to heal them from that awful, dreaded disease that is upon them in their body and in their physical being. Friends, tonight here in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, we read of the greatest of all remedies. The greatest of all cures. We can say here tonight, here's the remedy of all remedies. And this remedy is the blood of God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for man's iniquity, for man's sin, for man's transgression. By the blood of Christ alone, man can be saved from the awful ruin of a sin. Friend, let me say to you tonight, by the blood of Christ alone, you can be saved from the awful ruin of your sins. The Bible says, without shedding of blood is no remission. Praise God, through the blood of Christ, you can be saved. You can have your sins remitted, pardoned, put away. What a message. You know, there's nothing else in the world tonight that can take away sin but the blood of Christ. Think of the old hymn, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it is this wonderful remedy, God's remedy for sinful, ruined man, that I want us to think upon this evening for a little while. First of all, I want you to think about the need for this remedy. You know, one of the great fundamental truths of the Bible is this. Every man needs this remedy of the precious blood of Christ because of his own sin. You notice there the mention of the word sin at the end of verse 7. John says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And when he speaks there of sin, he's speaking of something that is real. Something that is actual. Something that is factual. Something that is literal. And I want to say to you tonight that sin is a disease that affects the hearts of all men, all mankind, no matter who he is. No matter what church he goes to, no matter what color of skin he has. Look at verse 8 of the chapter. Notice what John says there. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The Bible says, for there is no man that sinneth not. All of us, the preacher included, we are born into this world sinners by nature. Sinners by practice. We all have inherited sin by the fall of Adam and Eve, our first parents in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world. And friend, if you're here tonight and you are still not saved, still unconverted, this is a truth you need to realize. This is a truth that you need to grasp. You must recognize that before God, and that's really all that matters, your state and your standing before God. Think of, forget about what others might think about you. What God sees is what counts. And before God and your unsaved condition, you are lost and undone before a holy God. Oh, that you would see that tonight. Oh, that you would see yourself as David the psalmist saw himself. When he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He knew he'd come into this world a sinner. Oh, that you would see yourself tonight as the hymn writers saw themselves. They said, vile and sinful though my heart may be. My, if you are to be saved, you must acknowledge your state as a sinner before God. You must take the sinner's place before God. For who is Jesus come to save? He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's come to save sinners like you and I. David said, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. He acknowledged his sin before the Lord. Then thinking here about your sin and the need of this remedy, you must remember and understand what sin is. You see, today man thinks very lightly about sin. My men today, and women and young folk, they mock it and they laugh it and they discount it. They sin with a high hand against God. They think it a light thing, that it doesn't really matter. Well, I want to say to you tonight, it does matter. Sin is no light thing in the sight of God. Sin is no light thing in the Word of God. As you read through the Bible, what is sin? The Bible says this, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. It's the breaking of the law of God, the commandments of God. But it is more than that. My sin is an attack upon God Himself. Sin is an attack upon the glory of God. Does not the Bible say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Remember Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they sinned. They were sinning against the glory of God's creation when it was made perfect at the dawn of time. But my, there's more to sin than that. Sin separates man from God. Again, remember the charge that Isaiah laid at the feet of ancient Israel because of their sin. He said this, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Again, think of our first parents when they sinned in the Garden of Eden. God put them out of Eden, out of the place of fellowship. They were now separated from fellowship from God that they had before they sinned. Think of Lucifer. Now, when he rose up in pride against God, he was cast out of heaven. You see, God cannot tolerate sin in his presence. He is holy. My sin separates man from God, but my, there's another effect of sin that leads to an empty life. Leads to a life of no contentment, no satisfaction, no happiness, no joy. My, whenever Paul was writing to the Christians in Ephesians chapter 4, the verse 17, he says this to them, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And that statement there, in the vanity of their mind, it refers to the emptiness of a sinful life, a life that is void and futile, with no real goal or aim in life. It's like an empty husk. There's no satisfaction there. There's no contentment there, and sin is not to be found. The Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There's no peace in sin, no rest. And then sin, what does it do? It condemns man to endless punishment in hell. It condemns man to eternal woe and judgment. The Bible says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The Bible says tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. You turn with me your Bible back to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 16 and to the verse number 33. And here you read of certain people. One of them was called Korah. And there was others with him in his company. Sinful people who lived for sin, who rebelled against God, who lived their own way, who went against God, who rejected the Lord. And I want to see you what I want you to see what happened to them. The judgment of God came upon them for their sin. Look very carefully at verse 33 of Numbers chapter 16. It says, they, that's Korah and all his crowd with them, and all that appertained to them. Look at the next statement. It says, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Notice it says there, they went down alive into the pit. That was God's judgment upon them for their sin. And my, the Old Testament word for that word pit is the word Sheol.
is also translated hell. Korah and his rebels with him, those who lived in sin, died in sin, and they went down into hell, down into the caverns of the damned, down into that place of everlasting torment and judgment. That's the end of sin. The soul that sinneth, the Bible says, it shall die. And friend, this is what your sin does in your life. Oh, see tonight that it is no light thing. It's no thing to be laughed at. It is no thing to be mocked at. In fact, God says, fools make a mock at sin. My, your sin's the breaking of God's law, his commandments. Your sin is against God. It's against the glory of God. Your sin separates you from God. Yes, you may be religious. You may go to church on a Sunday. You may even read your Bible. You may even say your prayers. But friend, if you're not saved tonight, your sin stands between you and God. It separates you from your Maker, your Creator. Friend, if you die in your sin, you're under the condemnation of your sin. And your sin condemns you to a lost eternity. And hell itself, the Bible says, you're condemned already. God has passed the sentence. The sentence has been passed. Oh, see tonight the need of this remedy because of your sin and the terrible consequences of it. But notice secondly tonight the source of this remedy. Look again at our text there in 1 John chapter 1 and the verse 7. John simply says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. And there's the remedy for sin. The precious blood of Christ is God's remedy for man's sin. This, if you like, is God's medicine for the sinful souls of men. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ left heaven, came down into this world, and he died upon the cross. And as a sinless sacrifice to God, he shed his blood. He poured out his life unto death. And by that sacrifice, he provided a remedy for our sins. The Bible speaks of Christ and it says, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. By his sacrifice he came to put away sin. Over there in 1 John chapter 3, just over the page from our Bible reading tonight, in verses 5 and 8, John speaks more of this purpose. He says, and ye know that he, that's Christ, was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. At the end of verse 8 he says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. By his sacrifice he came to defeat sin and the ruin of sin and the works of darkness, the works of hell itself, the works of the devil. Yes, when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross on that hillside of Calvary, outside the city of Jerusalem, when he shed his blood, and cried out, it is finished. My remedy for sin was provided. And dear friend, whenever you confess your sin to God, trust in his sacrifice alone for your sin, you shall be saved from your sin. That's the promise of God's holy word. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The hymn writer could say, salvation by my Savior's name. Salvation through his blood. Oh, you might ask tonight, why is there such a remedy? Why did God send his Son? Why did God allow his Son to die and to be crucified? To be spat upon? To be mocked? To be whipped? To be beaten? Why did he allow his Son to have a crown of thorns pierced and pressed into his brow, into his head? Why did he allow his only Son to have his hands and his feet pierced with cruel Roman spikes and nailed to a Roman cross?
Why did he allow his sound of his side ripped open like a Roman spear so that his blood could flow out? Why, you might ask? That question is summed up in two words or three words. The love of God. Oh, the love of God. The Bible says God is love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the crosswork of Christ is the greatest demonstration of the love of God to sinful men and women. I remember on Sunday in November, in the latter part of the year, we remember those who have fallen. We remember those who have died out of love for our freedom and our liberties and for our country and our kingdom. Well, the Bible speaks of Christ and it says, greater love of no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Christ died out of love for poor and needy sinners, such as you and I. Maybe you're here tonight and you wonder, does God love me? Is there any proof of God's love? You'll see the love of God on Calvary's cross. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think of Paul, the apostle. He spoke of Christ and he said this, the Son of God who loved me, who gave himself for me. We never lost sight of the love of God. Oh, in providing this remedy, Christ, what did he do? He satisfied the justice of God. The Bible says he died the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And as a substitute, he took upon himself the judgment of sin for all his people. The judgment that all his people deserved, he took it upon himself. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Bible tells us he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Dear friend, it is by faith in this sacrifice alone that you can be saved from your sins. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. By providing this remedy, Christ provided a simple way, a plain way, for man to be saved. Look at our text. Look at it there in black and white. It just simply says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's no mention here of the rites of religion. There's no mention made here of the ceremonies of men or the monies of men. There's no mention made here of fastings or prayers or rituals. My, there's no mention here made of religion or works or anything to do with man. It simply says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My, it's a simple, plain way. Friend, whoever you are tonight in this meeting, unsaved, young or old, why, this is God's way for you to be saved through the precious blood of Christ. I'm sure most of you have heard of George Whitefield, great evangelist of the 18th century, mightily used of God at the times of the Wesley brothers as well. But at the age of 16, just as a young man, George Whitefield came under deep conviction of sin. He was greatly disturbed about his sin. Greatly disturbed about his own soul, and he tried all the rites and all the ceremonies of religion that he knew, but he found no peace, he found no pardon, he found no remedy for his soul and for his sin. And in the providence of God, he was given a book, a gospel book based on the gospel. And that book showed him that he must trust in Christ alone for his salvation. Nothing else but the blood of Christ. My, he heeded that message. He put his faith and trust in Christ alone and his blood alone. He found rest for his soul. He found Christ.
He found God's salvation, the greatest of all treasures. And friend, you must do the same if you're to be saved tonight. Maybe God has been dealing with your heart in recent days, maybe during this mission. Maybe you have been thinking about your sin and you have been in turmoil. What must I do to be saved? Friend, the answer is this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Rest on the sufficient atoning sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. The Bible says by His own blood He obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh friend, you must look to Christ. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. You must look to the blood of Christ. Rest upon the blood of the Lamb. Can you say that's my rest tonight? Can you say that's my hope tonight? Can you say, preacher, I'm depending tonight on the blood? The hymn writer could say, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. Are you depending on the blood tonight? If you are depending upon anything else tonight, you're depending upon a false hope. You're depending upon a broken stick. You're depending upon a false salvation. Look at what our text says. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's mention made of nothing else here but the blood of Christ. Only the blood of Christ can save your soul. Only the blood of Christ can deliver you from the awful ruin and plight and penalty of your sin. Oh yes, the need of this remedy, the source of it. But notice finally with me tonight the sufficiency of this remedy. You look again at the verse and you'll see that John speaks here of a complete cleansing from sin. He says there in this great text, he says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us, notice it, from all sin. Notice that little word, all. And by the blood of Christ can cleanse you from all your sins and all your iniquities. Whatever your sin is tonight, whatever your sin has been in your life, the blood of Christ can blot out all your sins and all your transgressions. In the Bible, Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. Yet all his sins were pardoned by the blood of Christ. Remember his message to the church at Ephesus? He spoke of Christ. And he said of Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Maybe you're the chiefest of sinners tonight here in Accolade. I don't know. But friend, what I do know is this, upon the authority of God's word, Christ's blood and Christ's blood alone can blot out all your sins and all your iniquities. That's a complete cleansing here. Notice also here in verse 7 that John speaks of a present cleansing. Notice the tense of the words. He says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's in the present tense. He doesn't say here, shall cleanse us. This cleansing is not something you receive after you die or leave the scene of time. No. Praise God, the very moment you trust Christ, your sins are all cleansed away. Remember the man sick of the palsy, whom the Lord healed and the Lord saved. And the moment the Lord healed him, and the moment the Lord saved him, what did Jesus say to him? He said this, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. His sins were blotted out, forgiven there and then, in a moment of time. Friend, God can blot out all your sins now, tonight, this very moment. If you put your faith and trust in Christ. What does the hymn writer say? The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon received. Over the years in the Lord's work, as I visited here, there and yonder, I've often met people and spoke to them about being saved and the need of their sins forgiven. And time after time, they will say this. How do you know? How can you be sure? This scene of time.
How can we be sure? How do we know? Because the Word of God tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Why, it's a certain cleansing. My John says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's no buts here. There's no maybes here. There's no ifs here. Praise God, tonight there's power. Power in the blood of Christ. Peter tells us it's incorruptible blood. There's power in the blood of Christ to save for all of the countless years of God's eternity. And my David here on earth, he rejoiced in that certain cleansing, for he could say this, as far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us. He was resting in the incorruptible blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. But you know, we can say something else tonight about the sufficiency of this remedy. It's a blessed remedy. It's a blessed cleansing. Just look at all the verse 7 there. Look at what John says. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That verse, it speaks of fellowship. And my, when you're saved, you have fellowship, yes, with the people of God, and that's tremendous. But my, greater still, you have fellowship with God, the God of heaven, the God of eternity, the great I Am, the Lord God Jehovah. Remember what Paul said to the believers in Ephesus? He said this, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. They were now in fellowship with God and speaking terms with God, reconciled to God. Praise God, friend, if you come to Christ and trust in Him tonight, you'll go home with God. You'll go home with that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And my, in having fellowship with God, you'll be saved eternally. Saved from going down into the pit of hell and made sure of heaven. Remember what the Lord said to the Israelites on the night of the Passover? Remember, judgment was coming upon Egypt. Death was coming. And the instructions given to Israel was to take a lamb, shed its blood. Take the blood out and apply it to the doorposts and the lintels of your home. And if the firstborn was to be spared, that blood had to be applied. And what was God's promise? When I see the blood, I will pass over thee. And friend, if you have the blood of Christ applied by faith to your heart, God will pass over you also in the day of judgment. You'll be saved. You'll be sure of heaven. The Bible says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. My, they are blessed. My, for the Christian, it is everlasting life. When they die in Christ, die with the blood applied. For them it is to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. The hymn writer says, come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. Oh friend, is the burden of your heart tonight to be saved? If you have that burden, I thank God for it. But my, you must go further. If you're to be saved from that burden, you must have the blood applied. Only the Israelites could be saved if the blood was applied. You must come by faith to Christ and have His blood applied by faith to your heart. You must look by faith to Christ. You must trust Him. Call upon Him with all your heart and soul to save you, to wash you, to cleanse you in His own precious blood. David the psalmist could say, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him. He was only a poor man. Poor and needy sinner, is that you tonight? Oh, that you would cry. Oh, that you would call upon the Lord in your heart and ask the Lord to save your soul. Turn with me back just to Isaiah chapter 38. And here you have the testimony of Hezekiah. I just want you to see in closing what he said of the Lord and what the Lord had done for him. Look at Isaiah chapter 38, verses
17 and 20. He says in verse 17, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness." That's what his sin brought him. It brought him bitterness and heartache and sorrow. And then he changes the direction of his remarks, and he speaks to the Lord, and he says of the Lord, "But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption." That's the pit of hell. "Thou hast," notice it, "cast all my sins behind my back." Look at verse 20. He says, "The Lord was ready to save me." Friend, tonight in this meeting, be you a young person, be you an older person, man or woman, unsaved, I want to tell you tonight, the good news of the gospel is still the same. The Lord tonight is ready to save you. He's willing to save you. He is able to save you. If you come to Him just as you are, poor and needy as you are, the Lord will save you. He will cleanse away your sins. He will save your soul. He will give you new life, abundant life, eternal life. He'll be with you in life. One day He'll welcome you into the glory land of heaven. Friend, if you are to be there in God's heaven, the mark of the blood of Christ alone, must be upon your soul. You must be depending on no one else and nothing else but the precious blood of Christ, the blood of the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Don't go out of the meeting tonight rejecting Christ. Don't go out of the meeting trampling under your feet the blood of Christ. Oh, don't do that. We would plead with you tonight to come to the Lord. Maybe you'd like to speak to us after the meeting or speak to the minister here, the Reverend Saul. Just make your need known. Say you want a word with you. Go out, come back in again. We're no hurry away, only too glad to open up the Word of God with you and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. No preacher can save you. We cannot save you. But praise God, Christ can. And He's mighty to save. He's the living, eternal Savior. And He's alive forevermore. He can save your soul tonight and fit you for heaven. May God bless you and help you to come. Amen.